Now we've got more news from the continent. There have been several recent stories about hate crimes against gays and lesbians. Last week in Nigeria, 18 suspected gay men were arrested. If they're found guilty, they could face the death penalty. And in South Africa, 3 gay black women were found brutally murdered. Kerry Allen Johnson is an Africa specialist at the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. He says in many countries across the continent, homosexuality isn't just taboo, it's illegal.
In more than two-thirds of the countries of Africa, there are still what you would call sodomy laws, or laws that criminalize same-sex consensual acts between adults on the books. And these laws, most of which are remnant of colonial legal systems, basically underpin a set of structures that allow for people to be regularly arrested, harassed, blackmailed, that make people insecure with regard to their housing, their ability to remain in schools. The laws themselves basically create a system in which the lives of African gay men and lesbians are considered to be the lives of second-class citizens, in which they are perpetually at risk.
You mentioned colonial laws, but there are also religious laws. Tell me about the arrest of 18 men in Nigeria and how they relate to Nigeria's so-called anti-gay bill and some religious law issues.
Sure. Actually, the arrest of the men in Bauchi State is something of a pattern. There have been arrests of men who are suspected of being gay and lesbian women as well in northern Nigeria. Now, as you know, Nigeria is a country that operates under both a federal set of laws and mainly the northern states under Sharia law.
And that being the Islamic law.
Right. And now the government of Nigeria last year attempted to implement a piece of legislation which they called the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act. And this law was a very tricky law in the sense that though it claimed to be prohibiting same-sex marriage, it had very little to do with same-sex marriage. It had very much to do with attempts to silence any sort of political activism. The law would make any kind of assembly of people coming together to discuss their issues or problems illegal and punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So the law was really an attack on freedom of expression and freedom of assembly and association in Nigeria.
Now, there's been another case. Human Rights Watch reported 3 black lesbian women were brutally murdered in South Africa. Is an incident like this common, or are they just getting more media attention now?
Unfortunately, they're all too common. They're becoming more common as levels of violence in South Africa increase. Lesbians in particular, and gay men as well, become targets, become people whose lives and whose persons can be violated without the police or without the government making it clear that these kinds of hate crimes will not be tolerated.
But what's ironic in a way is that the South African Constitution actually protects the rights of gays and lesbians in ways that, say, the U.S. Constitution doesn't.
Absolutely. And it's a constitution that is laudable. And frankly, we work and stand in solidarity with the South African government and have a lot of respect for the fact that the ANC and the government has maintained its commitments to LGBT rights. But we also know that governments have to be pushed and have to be reminded of their commitments both to their own constitutions and to international human rights law. And the United Nations has made it clear that sodomy laws and the type of hate crimes and violence that target people because of their sexual orientation and gender identity are just not acceptable.
You also have documented issues of healthcare access and protest about healthcare access. Tell us about some of these stories.
We're particularly concerned about high rates of HIV vulnerability of same-sex practicing people, particularly gay men in Africa. Research has shown that in many countries that have relatively low seroprevalence rates, such as Senegal, which has a rate of 1% in the general population, among gay men in Dakar, the rate is as high as 24%. In Ghana, the rate's as high as 25% among men who have sex with men.
Is that because, sorry to interrupt, there is an anti-condom culture or an anti-prevention culture? Why is that the case?
There are multiple reasons. I think the reason that we have to look at the most closely is the ways in which discrimination and homophobia prevent people from getting access to the services that they need. We know that, let's take the United States government, for example. The United States government is providing less than $1 million in funding for HIV prevention programs for men who have sex with men. If you are completely ignored, if you there are never any images of you as part of the HIV prevention programs, if you go to a healthcare center in your town or your city or your village and you are chased away when you talk to the doctor or the nurse about an STD that you have that's, in the case of a man, maybe an anal STD, and you're chased away from the clinic or even beaten up, if you are consistently confronted with violence and your entire life and set of relationships are criminalized, it makes it very difficult for people to adopt the kind of behavior change that results in someone being able to save their life and protect themselves from HIV.
Now, how do you compare what's going on the continent to other parts of the world, perhaps even comparing some developed countries to developing countries in other parts of the world?
Well, I think, once again, that South Africa needs to be congratulated for creating a constitution and trying to put in the legislation to live up to that constitution that protects people based on sexual orientation. While it's not always helpful to make comparisons between countries, what we do know is that the levels of violence that gay men and lesbians are facing in Africa has particular ramifications and has a particular design to it, in the sense of, if we look at the issue of punitive rapes, what some people call curative rapes, situations in which women whose behavior is considered to be too masculine, for example, are judged by the community and face rape as a way of punishing them and ostensibly to cure them. Those kinds of violent situations are situations that need to be addressed.
Given everything you've just told us about, are there active gay and lesbian organizations? I mean, America has many, both general interest, health-focused, African-American, people of color-focused. Are there comparable organizations in many African nations?
There is a strong and growing African sexual rights movement. There are regional organizations such as the International Lesbian and Gay Association. Also interesting is the fact that a number of mainstream human rights organizations in Africa are recognizing that LGBT rights are part of the overall fight for human rights. And Nigeria is a great example of that, where we saw a law being created or being proposed by the government that would silence people based on sexual orientation. The struggle to defeat that legislation was crafted and was moved forward by a coalition of organizations in Nigeria. More and more, I think what we're finding is that civil society groups in Africa are recognizing that LGBT rights are not special rights, but are part of the forward movement for democracy and basic freedoms on the continent.
Well, Kerry Allen Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Farai.
Kerry Allen Johnson is an activist and Africa specialist at the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission. He's also the author of a new book that takes a critical look at HIV/AIDS programs in Africa called Off the Map. To learn more, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.